cuts everyone out. So everyone else is waiting in the SUV, and after about 5 minutes, a somewhat troubled-looking Ben comes out and gets an SUV.
All right.
This time where I am sitting behind the passenger.
I'm in the driver's seat.
Yeah. I'll just direct her to where to go.
Yeah.
Olivia, you've been here before. I mean, you didn't enjoy it very much the last time you were here. Actually, you might have enjoyed it because at that point your grandparents were dead.
What?
Brutally murdered. Yeah, this is...
The house. I didn't know if it'd be different because the city's bigger, though.
Yeah.
No, it's in the same neighborhood. It is the typical fancy neighborhood that you were in before. A planned community around a golf course.
Does Consuela still work there?
Yeah. And you pull in to see, there's a couple of cars there. Let's see. Ben has something of a chunker, and Jake also has a vehicle of his own and also a motorcycle, which is unattended. And there are about four other motorcycles there and four riders who are standing there waiting for you. All look pretty big and tough. And newcomers, roll your intelligence plus composure.
Oh, God. I'm going to hit him with my car. He's just a guy. Hit him with your car.
One success.
I lost my character sheet. Sorry, you said intelligence plus
one composure? One success.
Composure.
No, three successes.
Nice. Nice. How's that going to go?
Ben, who are these?
I'm just going to say you just don't recognize who this is. And if you think of a way for you to completely misinterpret the situation, just go with it and take a beat. But the rest of you, one of the guys on the stand next to motorcycle, it takes a second. Let's see. Frank, you recognize him immediately to your own shock, and it takes Charlie a second. This is Josh Rookwood. If Josh Rookwood had joined the cast of the Sons of Anarchy.
So hot.
He is more muscular and kind of shaggy looking. And he is sitting on a bike looking very perturbed.
Ben, what's going on here?
It's just Josh. Yeah, you chill.
I know who it is. What's he doing here?
He's probably checking to make sure that you guys aren't responsible for killing Charlie because Charlie worked for him.
I look over to Charlie and be like, a vampire in this world?
I'll open my door and get out nice and slow and, you know, laconically.
He looks at you for a second, and he gives you this very odd expression. Sort of like, you know that look a dog gives you when it's very confused at something you just did?
Oh, that looks so cute.
Yeah, and you're all still wearing Western attire, right?
Oh, yeah. We're straight out of Deadwood.
He gets off his bike, and he walks towards you, and he glances at the others, but in particular, you, and he gets to about 4 or 5 feet away, and it doesn't say anything. He just looks you up and down with this strange look on his face, and he finally says, "Sheriff?"
Oh, no.
What?
Once upon a time.
In the West?
What?
Yep.
Okay, this is officially the weirdest fucking thing that's happened to me in my entire undead life. And then he shakes his head and walks over to Ben, puts his eye on your frozen. Ben, are you okay?
Yeah. No, but I will. No, I don't. No. Firmly no.
I'll look at him and go,
Pastor. He actually kind of pulls you into kind of a manly hug and slaps you on the back and says, Jake's going to be okay. Dr. Nick's going to look after him. And I'm going to look after the both of you. So let's come in and figure out what the absolute fuck is going on with these four who I actually knew when I was still breathing.
Yeah, and let's make them all take showers, please, for the love of God.
Olivia definitely, hey, like, as she's watching them hug, goes, Holy shit, that's Josh Rookwood. What the fuck?
I just kind of point and just go, Pastor Josiah?
Well, I haven't been a pastor in a long, long time.
So, Charlie's still in the vehicle.
Charlie's been a pastor since you had two hands.
I get it.
Oh, no. Okay.
Charlie's still been in the vehicle, by the way. I have not gotten out of the car yet.
That's probably for the best, really. Hit the child
box. I am sitting there, mouth agape. I will exit the vehicle, and my words are, what in the flying fuck?
Alan, out of character, since it's been, you know, like 37 years since I played that Old West game, what was Josh, what was our relation to it? What was, remind me.
Which one? The vampire you knew in Knoxville or the Methodist preacher you knew in El Dorado, or El Diablo?
The Methodist preacher. Was he a good guy? Was he part of that cult?
He was completely honest and above board.
He burned his church down.
No, he didn't.
Well, I did. No,
no.
Did
no he yeah. burned down the burned Catholic church. Church. He didn't actually
burn
that.
Oh, the Catholic church. Whoops-a-daisy. Maybe burned out a church.
Okay, I'm remembering now. Okay.
Alan, can you roll a high or low for me?
Sure.
And I'm gonna pick a low.
Olivia's currently debating if she wants to set him on fire just on principle, but she's holding back because she remembered nice Josiah, but also remembered shitty Josh.
It is a low.
Okay, then I'll close my tongue and not ask about his wife, Felicity.
Probably a good idea.
Probably dead.
Are you telling me that you 100 and however many years later, you're here? So we're not in another world, we're just in the future of the one we just left.
Okay, I don't know anything about that shit. Let's go inside, talk, and he turns to the other three motorcycle guys, and you notice one of them is a vampire. The other two, and I'll give Charlie and Oliver this, they're both werewolves, but they are all wearing motorcycle jackets. What's the name of the game? Name of the riders? Give me a second here.
Rough Riders.
Hell's Angels.
Rough Riders.
Ooh, fancy little club you got.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go inside.
I'll follow in.
Fucking hate vampires.
Hey, Gabe, you come on in. The rest of you, just sat here and guard in case, what, the were-hyena? Is that what you call it?
I think it's a caftan or something.
Catan?
Caftan is like a blanket.
He looks at Ben. Is that what your brother called it?
Yeah, Kaftar.
Kaftar. Okay. Well, then I will defer to his judgment because he's the smart guy.
He is?
All right. And you all head inside the furniture is slightly different, but it's still the same McMansion it was before.
Well, at least it's got furniture, so I'll sit down in a nice comfortable chair, not on the floor or anything.
So showers.
Sorry. Yeah, I go.
I know there's showers in here.
I immediately go take a shower.
Let me ask you something.
I call up the first aid team for Oliver.
And I feel like a crazy person for asking this. Did you guys literally just come here from El Diablo?
We literally did.
Fuck. So you guys weren't around. So all of a sudden, I just assume you all got killed in the massacre.
The massacre? What massacre? Oh, no.
The town?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Like two nights after you guys disappeared. And then he suddenly looked in the direction of Oliver, and his face goes a little bit, and he says, well, a lot of people died, let's just say that, and move on to, it's in the past, so let's move to the present.
Well, when a vampire's face pales, you know something's wrong.
Yeah, and by the way, what name were you using, Luke, back then when you were sheriff?
I think Frank Connor.
Yeah,
I think
you used Connor, not Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Shit.
I believe so.
I just realized. Okay.
What'd you just
say?
Did you realize your hand? Did you realize in character?
Your disembodied hand came back and killed everybody?
Maybe grew into a whole other Oliver.
No, Anthony knows that, remember, I frenzied and bit a bunch of people. They turned into werewolves.
Oh, holy shit.
But dumb Oliver, so what do I need to roll for that?
You will become Shiva,
destroyer of the West.
Oh my god.
Do I get any bonuses for...
I get a plus one.
My god.
Since this literally happened 2 days ago for you.
One success.
That's enough. Yeah, you have a moment of clarity and realize that, because you don't remember much about the frenzy, but you were told you bit a bunch of people who would have survived your bite.
Can he remember this while he's in the shower and not out here with the rest of us?
Well, I assume you were like on your way to the shower when you heard that, and
I would have just yelled out, "Fuck! Oh fuck!" Do I have beer? Do you have anything to drink? I need something to drink. Fuck. Well, are you okay to talk about this? Because I feel like I need to talk about this.
Who are you talking to? Me? I mean,
you, Josiah.
The werewolf. I mean,
Josh.
Okay, I don't really do therapy, if that's what you're asking about.
No, but you can give me a little bit more knowledge of what might have what went down.
You got frenzied at the Catholic Church. Attacked a whole bunch of people. Some of them died, but close to 20 survived your initial attack before you ran off. And then two nights later, the full moon rose.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he undoes the top two buttons of his shirt and pulls it aside, and you can actually see that there's a claw mark on his chest.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We actually kind of like you guys at the Methodist Church, too.
So I got turned. Could have been worse. I was I don't know if you remember. I was married at the time, and she got eaten. I managed to survive, and I became a lycanthrope. But by that point, U.S. Army showed up, and with them came a bunch of magic types who knew what was what. Most of the actual werewolves that you originally turned got put down, but not all of them. Some of them just ran off into the night and disappeared. And I ended up, I spent about the next 30 years as a lupine slave of a Fenris vampire with a Camarilla. But I proved myself, and then he decided to, you know, reward me with the embrace. So yeah, you can go from being a werewolf to being a vampire. So maybe I'll learn to be a mage and hit the trifecta.
And he laughs.
He laughs without any mirth whatsoever.
So wait, you're not a werewolf anymore, but you were turned?
I mean, I'm a Fenris vampire, so you know that's like the next best thing. I don't get to go out into the sun anymore. And my diet's a little different, but you know, I don't eat people with nearly as much frequency.
Do you happen to know what happened to all the rest of the werewolves that frenzied and turned on everyone?
Most of them were killed by Uncle Sam.
Said some got
did
away.
Any of them survive? I don't know. I've never had any encounters with any of them.
I mean, I know it's like a couple of centuries too late, but sorry, not intentional.
Hey, you weren't don't worry, you weren't the one who frenzied on me. You weren't involved in that, but you weren't the one who, you know, frenzied on all those people. In and up church. Jeez.
Well, it was
they were trying to attack us. It wasn't their fault they were mind controlled, but bygones.
Whatever happened to the vampire that was there?
He never showed back up. What happened to you guys? You went into the mine, and then the mine caved in.
Magic, we showed up here. I don't know what the fuck happened.
You folks, that vampire.
Oh, great.
What do you even want to do? I mean, I was so moral back then. I don't know what the fuck is going on about anything.
Raise an evil mummy to kill the world. I think that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah.
And they were using vampire blood to slowly control the people of the church and the people at the mine while they were trying to resurrect this mummy.
Wait, mummy? Like little mummy in bandages?
Apparently. Apparently. We know, yeah.
Why was there a mummy in a silver mine in the New Mexico territory?
That, begin to tell you.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, we were trying to figure all of this out before, you know, reason why I kind of frenzied, tried to find answers at the church, and things went sideways at the Catholic Church.
Bunch of mind-controlled Catholics didn't like we were up in their business.
Well, just normal Catholics then.
I just realized the last time I saw you, you actually had both hands. What happened?
At the church, something magical happened, and I could hear voices in my head that were kind of evil, and it was crawling up my hand. So I decided to cut it off from the source. Oh. And I just do like an awkward smile, just like, it happened.
Very biblical. If thy hand offend thee, get it off. And he looks over in Charlie and says, and you are a completely different Charlie than the Charlie who's been working for me for the past 7 years.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sure this one's going to be a lot less reliable.
I all this time, I thought it was like your great-great-grandson or something. I noticed the resemblance. But,
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So, what has brought you here, and what are your plans? And
here's the deal, all right? We are from Knoxville, Tennessee, just not this one. And we stepped through some magic mirror wardrobe thing and ended up somewhere else. And basically, we've been bouncing around everywhere ever since, most recently at El Diablo, New Mexico, 100 however many years ago. And we just came back here. We're trying to get back to our Knoxville. I'm trying to get back to my son, Trey. And I look over at Ben, who is not him, but we're trying to get back.
Yeah, by the way, where does Ben come from? And you say Jake's your brother. Like, how is he your brother?
Kind of a sentimental
story. He was getting adopted. I was going to change my name entirely. I didn't want anything to do with my birth.
I don't blame you.
Fair.
Hell, I'll go kill him for it if you want.
I think we've killed enough people's dads here so far.
No, stop.
I want to start things on the right foot here, so I just want you to know, Father. You seem fine, but I don't work for vampires, so I don't know what deal you and previous Charlie had, but this does not make a, it does not, I am not him.
But you work with a vampire.
Frank's different. Well, we're half brothers. Frank gets past. Yeah.
And you're a werewolf.
Well, I wasn't planning on offering you a job, since I don't know, since I don't really know you except from what I remember from 130 years ago when your whole group was involved in, you know, shit that led my wife to being eaten in front of me and me turning into a.
It seems like you got over that.
He was very nice.
You've been a werewolf. You know what it's like. I mean, it wasn't Oliver's fault, not entirely.
Yeah.
Kind of was.
I mean, well, let's just say the statute of limitations on, you know, mass murdering has run in this case. All right, so I really want to talk about what's happening here because I'm the Camarilla Regent for Knoxville, and I'm probably going to have to call in the whole city council tonight and tell them something. Something involving, you know, where hyenas and that the Anawai are all dead, and something about spiders.
Yeah, so the Anawai are all dead. Where hyenas exist, and there are several of them in the forest. And there's also demon spiders, which can also turn other people into, like, were spiders. And there's a lot of spiders. I'm very concerned about that whole forest, and we should possibly, no offense to, like, don't want to trigger anybody in here, but maybe just burn the whole thing down. You know, like, can we do that? Can we just burn a national forest?
There might be repercussions.
That's the Canadians. Wait, that didn't happen here. Never mind. What year is this again?
2010, March.
Oh, so the fires didn't the fires in Gatlinburg and everything happened in, what was that, 2017 or whatever?
I did not actually know that there were fires, but yeah,
but fires happen all the time.
Are you old enough to remember that? Like you yourself? I don't know.
Yeah, but massive wildfires rarely happen in, you know, March.
Well, not if you sweep the forest like you're supposed to. And by the way, who's the president now anyway?
God damn it, Obama. Frank. Who?
Just saying.
I'm transfixed by that gift Bruce just posted.
Vince says it, and he's like, we're having a lot of fun here, but I've got to go crash before the drugs that Nick gave me wear off. Because if that happens while I'm around other people, I really don't want to see it. Everybody, you guys know where the rooms are in this house. He looks directly at Charlie and says, "Don't fuck with shit in my father's room."
I am.
And then he walks away.
I am wounded that he would think that.
No, not yet. But
he only said you didn't say anybody else.
Josh, you're also going to have to. You're also going to have to report me. I mean, I'm in town. I hope I don't have to stay very long, but what are you going to tell them? I guess I'm technically a 130-year-old vampire, even though I've only been a vampire about 6 months.
This is...
And I don't know where to tell them I'm from or who my maker was or anything.
This shit is not supposed to happen in Knoxville. This is like some New York or L.A. shit.
I know, right? That's what I love about Knoxville. It's a small town. Trust me, smaller than this. And it's just nice and quiet.
Okay. Don't go anywhere till either tomorrow night or until you hear from me. How are you on blood?
I'm all right. I'll need it before too long. But
if you need to feed, you get my number from the kid. I'll get you taken care of because, you know.
I haven't had a phone in 130 years.
Haven't had a what?
A phone.
Yeah, we
all right.
Just got here.
I'll get him to call you.
That works.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go check on Jake and then maybe call a council meeting, maybe just try to bluff it through for another night. They're all assholes anyway.
Also, it's 2020, it's 2010. Everybody still has landlines in 2010.
Yeah, true.
All right.
I'll go take my shower now and just like grab like a couple of beers, like a 6-pack of beers, and just like I'll be back later, and then just like drink all the beer.
I am going to take a shower, and then I am going to snoop around Charlie's room and the rest of the house for any weapons that may be laying around.
You already have a weapon.
Yeah, but knowing me, there are more. If I know myself, yeah.
You go into Charlie's it actually has an attached bathroom in the master bedroom, so you can go there and take a shower. You go into Charlie's room. It is very tastefully decorated, but it's also very sentimental because there are pictures all over the place of him and Jake when Jake was like 7 years old at Little League. 10 years old, him and Jake and Charlie on a fishing trip together. Charlie looks much more clean cut than you do now. A picture at Christmas of Charlie and Jay and Charlie's parents, and they all seem very happy together.
That's weird.
And on and on, stuff like that. Nothing in here that reminds you of anyone of the Jones family. There is one picture of Mia from... you think it was a wedding picture, and neither of you looks happy in it.
Ah, well, that tracks. So... I am going to search for any kind of, like, did this Charlie keep a journal, a diary, anything? And I'm also going to search for any hidden firearms, weapons, etc.
All right, roll your wits plus investigation.
I get 9 again. 1 success. Not great, but a success.
Right. You do find a gun cabinet, which has a hunting rifle in it, and a spare Glock. You would not have any reason, but you have to break the lock on it, assuming you want to do that, because he does keep it locked up.
He was so responsible. It's disturbing.
Yeah. And in fact, you would probably have no way of knowing this, but you might deduce it. He decided to keep all his guns locked up, like, because he had a young child in the house. Oh, I forgot to add, there are also some more recent pictures, like you think within the last year or so, of Charlie and Jake and Ben, who was still going by Trey at that point. One of them has a little caption set indicate it. Yeah, it's like Ben's graduation photo. Because he hasn't graduated. He's in the 11th grade. Hey, Bo, what would be the most recent sentimental picture of Ben that dead Charlie would have had?
Well, it's spring break, so I would imagine it would probably be like a Christmas photo.
Okay. Yeah, there's a photo of them at Christmas, and they look just adorable together.
That's wild. Oh, it's so creepy. No, I will not break the lock. It's nice to see that apparently Charlie's Across All Universes employ the Glock. It's a solid weapon. I will take a shower and ensure that my firearms are within reach at all times. I have reached a new level of paranoid with this place. Yeah. Other than that, I'll just, does he have a computer in here? History books? Does he have a library?
Okay. All right. So we'll cut back to the hospital. The first thing that happens is Nick tells you to take off all your clothes and to lie down on the table they used to perform the autopsies, which is kind of disturbing. It actually makes a roll for an NPC.
Doc, this isn't how I thought my first time was gonna go.
Just stay calm. And Nemechek is off to the side of watching, and he has a grin as well, but he's not giggling here. But he says, "This is fascinating. Are you quite sure you don't want to let this condition progress and see where it goes?"
No, yeah, I already know where it goes.
Okay. And once Nick is naked, he reaches into his bag and he pulls out 7 candles, which he arranges in a circle around the autopsy table, and he lights them. Then he pulls out a silver goblet, and he hands it to Nemechek. Nemechek smiles and says, "Usual rate of exchange, Nicholas?" "Yes." And then he smiles larger. And yeah, he likes to grin like you do, except that when Nemechek grins, the corners of his lips extend back probably another 2 inches from where a normal smile should go.
My grandmother,
mouth,
what a big mouth you have.
and he laughs at that and says, "The better to drink you with." And then he opens his mouth and extends these fangs and rakes his forefinger across it and starts dripping it into this goblet while Nick just closes his eyes and holds up his hands in an occult gesture, and he starts muttering something in a foreign language. And then after filling the goblet almost halfway, he hands the goblet back to Nick, who comes over to you and starts. He dips his fingers in there. He's still chanting in some language the whole way, and as he starts, pulls out this vampire blood and starts drawing sigils on your chest. And after, and you immediately think it tickles a little bit, but you struggle to like not laugh maniacally through the entire thing. After a second of this, he's done, and then he lights the candles, still chanting the whole time. Let's see, and I got a message. That is an interesting point. Hang on 1 second. All right. What's your blood potency? Not blood potency, fit. What's your primal urge? Whatever that thing vampires is.
Okay. My primal urge?
Yes.
4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, roll your resolve plus composure minus 4.
Oh, fuck me.
It's a 4.
Well, you did ask.
I know. Resolve plus composure minus 4?
Yes. You can spend one part, though. That'll give you 3 back.
I botched.
Oh, no.
You want some.
Hey, Nick. Can I have a sip?
No. This is for the ritual. You need to calm down. Just get a grip on yourself. And you are very close to just grabbing the goblet out of his hand when, out of nowhere, Nemechek is suddenly on the other side of the table, and he pushes your shoulders down very firmly to where you can't move. And he just looks down and says, "If you are a very good boy, I will give you some when the ritual is over." Nick doesn't like that at all, but he has other things to worry about. So he, catching up on gifts, he finishes the ritual and says, "Thank you, Anton. Now will you please step out of the purification circle, you blood-sucking predator of the night?" And that just makes Nemechek laugh, and he takes a step outside of the candle circle. And then Nick raises his hands very high, and let's see if he can actually do this ritual.
Oh, shit.
Because I do have a dice pool for him, so he may, in fact, you know, potentially botch. Crap, need to actually get his correct character sheet up.
Say, fuck it up.
No.
That's pretty much the theme of our family. Botch.
That's going to be, we're going to say presence plus medicine. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Plus his final thaumaturgy is going to be 13. And he spent about half an hour in his ritual with candles. And he's got Vitae, which is really good for magic. But the penalty is going to be... so he still rolled at dice. Roll. All right.
Shit.
He brings his hands down and slams them onto your chest and your abdomen, and your whole body goes rigid as he starts now chanting at the top of his lungs. All of those runes that he painted on you they start to burn painfully. And the more it hurts, the harder you laugh until you are giggling insanely, just not giggling anymore. You are just braying out at the top of your lungs. But the other thing is, the harder you laugh and the more you grin, the more painful it is. And you feel this desperate desire not to be happy anymore. And then you hear another voice in the back of your head. Well, not in the back, but from somewhere. And it's not Nick's voice. And it's someone with a male with a faint Mexican accent says, Do not fight it, man. Don't fight it. Our God is a smiling God." But now you roll resolve plus composure.
Okay.
You want to do well on this.
Yeah. Do I want to blow willpower? Yes, I do. What does that give me?
+3.
I'll take it.
Dramatic success. All right. So you get a beat for a dramatic success, and your laughter dies, and it turns into screams of pain as you feel your blood, like it's on fire, pouring through you, and then all of a sudden it stops, and you're gasping for air. You look down. The blood runes that were on you are now just ash. They, to the point where they can wipe, you can just wipe them off, and Nick staggers back. He almost falls, but Nemechek catches him, and they both turn and look at you, and you sit up, and you don't feel the need to laugh maniacally anymore. On the downside, now that you are cured of the disease, all of the grief and anger and depression from earlier hits you.
Well, I just fucking start crying then. Like, just ugly cry.
Okay. And Nick comes toward you and just, you and Nick don't know each other well. You only know him through Ben. I hate your name, Bo, because every time I try to say Ben, I have to go through Bruce, Bo, Bill, Bob, and then finally get to Ben. But he puts his hand on your shoulder and says, it's okay. It's okay. You've been through a lot, but you've made it through. The disease is gone. And then he thanks for saying, says, now you need to pull it together for your brother, okay?
Yeah, but there's more out there.
And we will deal with them. But we know what we're up against now, so we're ahead of the game. Because if you had given in to the disease, who knows what would have happened next. I will report to the square circle, and then we'll get together with Rookwood and figure out a plan of action. But you need to go home to your brother.
I don't have a ride home.
I will get you a cab.
And can I put my clothes on now? It's cold in here.
Of course. And he quickly reaches, picks up your clothes and hands it to you. And he glances over at Nemechek, who's just sort of smirking at you. And he actually holds up his hand close to where his wrist is pointing at you. And he sort of shakes it, like asking if you still want some.
I'm okay now. Thank you. That's very nice of you.
My door is always open.
I'll remember that, Dr. Nemechek.
Okay. Nick grimaces, and he goes over and back to his bag and mutters about how I'm going to be back in my lab brewing for a week at this. And he pulls out the same pill bottle that he had for Ben earlier. He shakes it, looks inside, and there's only one pill left, and he says, okay, nobody better get traumatized for the rest of the week. And he hands it to you and says, eat that.
Okay.
That'll at least get you home, and then get a good night's sleep, and then we'll get together once I know more. And I don't know what our options are for counseling for werewolves and sorcerers in this town. And then Nemechek starts to say something, and Nick Lerner says, not you, Anton. Well, I am fully trained.
Nick, I don't know if Ben said it right. It's when you do your research later, it's Kaftar. Kaftar. That's what they are.
That's it sounds African.
They're were hyenas. They cause madness and seduce you over with madness and eventually convert werewolves to Kaftar. Like rabies on crack.
Interesting. I don't know whether to be intrigued or feel professionally jealous. And by that point, you are fully dressed, and Nick pulls out his wallet, and he pulls his phone out and calls a. There's no Uber in 2010, is there? He calls a cab, to meet you at the front of the hospital because he's not going to get a cab to come to the morgue entrance. He pulls on his gloves quickly and leads you out through the hospital and puts you in a cab and says, all right, try to get some rest. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. And about 30 minutes later, you are dropped off in front of your home, and you see the SUV is there and everyone else's vehicle is there, and there are also four Harley Davidsons.
I'm going to walk in the house.
Okay. And actually, I forgot. You meet Josh as he is coming out, and he sees you, and he immediately comes over and pulls you into a bear hug. I'm so sorry for your loss. He was one of my best people.
Yeah. Yeah. And what the fuck is going on?
I can't even begin to say at this point. This is outside my field of expertise, but I will.
There's were hyenas here. There's Kaftar. They killed all of them.
Okay. Tell me what you feel up to doing at this point. Do you need to just rest? And because you know, I let you sleep and talk tomorrow, except you know, I can't talk tomorrow for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I need to rest, and then we need to murder them all.
Okay. I am down with that.
Okay.
If I call a council meeting tonight, are you up to talking to them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I will try to put it. He checks his watch. At this point, it's around midnight. No, it's earlier than that. We'll say it's 11 o'clock. I'll send the car for you around 3 a.m. What I want you to do, get at least an hour or two of sleep. If you can write something up about telling us what the ever-loving fuck a Kaftar is, because none of the vampires are going to know shit. I'm the only one who's even a Fenris on the council.
Down and dirty quick while I'm still somewhat sane. The betrayer that went crazy against Father Wolf back in the old.
Yeah.
Their punishment was rabies, madness. It they turned into werehyenas. They bite you with this like disease that gives you kind of rabies and drives you crazy, and then they get a mental link and seduce you over to becoming a werehyena, a Kaftar. It just takes a bite.
I really should have listened more when all the other werewolves were talking about this shit. All right, I'll call. I've got some occult contacts besides you. Maybe Ahmed knows something. Go get some rest.
Have all the Rough Riders on watch, though. Keep them all safe.
Sure thing. And glance over at the house. You want me to leave a couple of the guys here in case, you know, our visitors get weird?
Nah, they're fine. They may be multiverse whatever nonsense, but in some way, I guess they're still kind of family.
Okay. Let me know if anything changes. And he slaps you on the shoulder again. And if you need anything, you call me. I'm going to look up to you and your brother.
Yeah.
And then, all right. He comes inside. The rest of you who are, if there's anyone who's still up down, is there anyone who's still up downstairs? Charlie is, last I heard, was fucking around. And Charlie, are you planning on sleeping in other Charlie's room?
No. I will find somewhere else to sleep.
All right. We'll say that, Ben, I think you said you went to sleep, right?
Ben is trying to get some sleep because he knows that once Nick's shit wears off, it's going to be a fucking shit show.
Okay. Well, you are probably, you know, still kind of awake, and you hear the sound of motorcycles leaving and the door opening downstairs. And Jake, you walk in and see the four newcomers sitting around in the living room.
You done cackling? Feel better?
Yep.
That's good. That's good.
I had to get naked with a mage, but I'm okay.
All right.
Is that a euphemism for something, or?
And not a mage. Mages are something different. He's a sorcerer.
Yeah, yep. Sorcerer. Sorry. Yeah. Had to get naked with a sorcerer.
In this setting, mages are very rare, and everyone else is fucking terrified of them.
Yeah.
There is one mage in Knoxville. You have never met him and have been told never to go to the casino.
Yes.
So where do we go from here?
I apparently have a council meeting in 4 a.m. I'm going to go take a power nap. I see you all have showered. Awesome. Does Frank, is he like Charlie or Josh? Does he have to like hide from the sun and shit?
No, I'm all right.
You can go out in the sun?
Yeah.
I'm not That's crazy fucking cool.
But I can.
Okay. I was going to say I've got a room in the basement if you need it.
That's very kind. I still have my smoked glasses from 130 years ago.
This council meeting, sorry, before you go, Jake, I know you've got to be tired. Who all's on it, and do they necessarily have to know we're here? You can just tell them the other stuff?
I at least have to tell them about the Kaftar, and I have to tell them about the fucking spider corpse insanity.
That's all fine. The last time, I mean, Josh seems chill or whatever. But the last universe we went to where a bunch of Rookwoods found out there was mirrors where you could travel wherever, it didn't go well. I would like to avoid that for as long as possible.
I don't know how you got here.
Excellent.
Literally, I don't know how you got here. And that's all I can say.
Go get some sleep, son.
I go to sleep.
Okay. As you head up to your room, you go by Ben's room. And Ben, you can hear him talking. You can either poke your head out the door and talk with him, or you can just ignore it and try to go back to sleep.
Hey, you good?
Yeah, I'll reach in and give Ben a hug. I'm good. Nick helped me. I just gotta sleep.
Yeah, me too.
I had to see Nick naked. It's a weird night.
Yeah, it's magic gets weird sometimes, man.
I don't know why we both had to be naked. It was weird.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We actually do, though. It was a purification ritual. You do those first to clear away any negative magic before you can do healing. You can actually do that ritual. It's in your grimoire.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. It had to be done. I know it's weird and uncomfortable, but I'm just glad you're you again.
I mean, yeah, just wearing a new scar, but you get some sleep, dude. I'm going to go do the same, because fuck today.
Yeah, probably fuck tomorrow.
We
too,
gotta,
but...
Well, we're going to go hurt some shit later.
Yeah, I got to get some Vitae back, but I'm for it.
You mean Essence?
Essence, yeah.
That's my boy.
Hi, this is Bo. Thanking you for listening to another episode of Southern Gothic Gaming. Welcome back to the adventures of the Connor fan. The first arc of the Aberrant storyline has drawn to a close, and we return to a world of werewolves, vampires, and vast horrors beyond comprehension. If you want to follow along live, you can do so by becoming a member of our Patreon. On Patreon, you will get early access, character breakdowns, and more. You can even join in our Discord group to interact with us and potentially join in one-off specials. Please rate or review wherever you listen to podcasts, and, as always, episodes are released every Friday night. Your players for this session have been Alan as the storyteller, Anthony as Oliver, Bo as Ben, Brooke as Olivia, Bruce as Jake, Luke as Frank, and Stick as Charlie. The intro and outro is Wayfaring Stranger by Brian Mitchell. Thank you again, and we hope you listen in for our next session.